Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this
passage,
and I'll follow, though I'm warned. May this journey bring a blessing.
Helada. Helada. Hello, Ada. Hello, Dot Day. Hello, Dot Day. Hello, Ada. Hello, Ada. Dot Day. Is anybody on the line? Hello. Hello, Ada. Hello, Ada. Dot Day. Is anybody on the line? Hello. In this shit. Okay. Ada. Dot A. Hello. What? Hello? I see it. I can't hear you either. And I heard the song. I don't know how. See, it won't let me on at all. That's the problem. I came on through the computer, but not through Google. And I heard the song, and they say I'm live, but I can't hear y'all. I'm keep saying hello, hello. No, Google say their server is loaded for my computer. Let me see. Let me call back in on my phone. I'm a go out and call back in on my phone. Okay.
How you doing? This is Nathan on the spot. Hello, Ada, Dr. E. Hello? Hello. Definitely having some technical difficulties tonight. I don't understand it. It's never happened before, but I am very sorry. I'm doing everything that I can here. But for some reason, they are not letting me in. Up and redialing now. Hello, Dr. A. Ada. Can anybody hear me? I don't understand why we are muted from each other. But I'm trying to go back to the internet, and for some reason the internet is not going to allow me to go through my computer. It just... Hello? Ada. It's saying... Oh, I think I'm in. Hold on a second. Just hold on a second. Hold on a second. Oh, I don't know what Dr. D got going on tonight, but it must be good. Okay, I'm in. Just give me 5 minutes now. Give me 5 minutes. Jesus. Something must be going on tonight. Good. Oh, okay, I see y'all. Okay, hold on a second. Let me I don't know. Okay, I got to sign out. Okay, thank you.
Oh, everybody should be live. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Blast. Okay. Dr. A. Is Dr. A? I'm getting a little feedback. Is Dr. A on the line? I don't see Hello?
Hello, this is Brother Bob Saffold from Ohio.
It's 9:16,
okay. And I'm on my telephone.
Okay. We having a little technical difficulty. I'm trying to see if they're going to fix this thing in the next 5 or 6 minutes. I had the air on the line, but she must have dropped off. I'm getting a feedback from somebody.
Can anyone hear me?
I got my last speaker on
two different phones.
Oh, that's the feedback I'm getting. You got to use one.
Okay. I'm on my smartphone now.
Okay, you good
Hello?
Now?
All right, good.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
got
now.
You.
How can I get on that dot and number one?
Oh, you in? You live
I'm
now.
In, okay. All right, right on.
You live.
So I guess I can't hear nobody but you. Where's Dr. A and the rest of the folks?
Let me call and see if I can get her to recall back in.
All right.
Hello. Hello, call back in. Call back into the station. Okay. Thank you. Oh, we having I don't know what y'all got going on tonight, but it must be good.
This is the first time I've been on the call, so.
Yeah, but we ain't never had this much trouble getting everybody in, so y'all must have got a hot topic tonight. I tell you. Ooh.
Where are you
at?
Orangeburg,
South Carolina.
All right, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
Head on.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can get out of the host back on the line.
Okay.
But you keep on talking. Keep on talking.
All right. Right on.
Go ahead. Talk about anything you want to.
All right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he making me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yeah, she calling back in now.
All right, right on.
All right.
Looks like she's trying to call me, incoming call. I don't want to get her because I'll lose you.
Well, okay, let me call her and tell her you already. She wanted you on the line.
I'm right. Call until I'm on. I can call her on my other phone if she can answer.
I'll call her.
Okay.
I'll call
right on.
Go ahead and talk.
All right.
Make the show
good. He lead me beside the still water. He restored my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name.
So he's already on the line.
Dr. A?
Okay.
Dr. A?
No, she calling in. She been trying to call you.
All right, I'm already in. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and talk. You can talk.
All right.
She haven't called in. Okay, we got out on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Doing
what? I got a feedback. Somebody got a radio or something on. Okay, here go Dr. A.
Good evening, everybody. Dr. A. Thank you for... I'm here. Can you hear me?
This is Brother Bob in Cleveland.
Hey, Brother Bob in Cleveland.
God bless
With
you,
Ms.
daughter.
We appreciate you your busy schedule on tonight. We appreciate you so much. Hold on one.
Oh, we got it going on tonight. Y'all must have got some good information.
Right on.
The enemy show is fighting. The enemy is fighting this show tonight.
Yes, he is, man. It's all right, but we got some fun.
I tell you, the enemy is fighting this show tonight. Y'all don't know what I'm going through here.
We got some fun. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
That's right.
It's all right.
Good evening, Nathan. We appreciate your perseverance and being on the show tonight and being our supercharged engineer. We appreciate you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Did I just make it in?
Yeah,
yes,
everybody's live.
Okay, wonderful.
Oh, there we got somebody else done call in. Everybody's live. Oh, there we got somebody else done call in. I'm putting everybody live. Everybody live. Okay, Dr. A, you can go ahead. I'll go ahead and do our first part.
We'd just like to introduce, welcome everybody to the show tonight. And sorry we're getting a late start. We had some technical difficulties, but we are here now, and we are ready to go. And just put out a little blob about the show is intended for educational purposes only, not meant to treat, cure, or diagnose any disease. And without any further ado, Dr. A and her distinguished guests will join us now.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for their perseverance because, as I just said, we had some technical difficulties early, and I'm like, this is such a great show. We have such distinguished guests and certainly people who have written the Cleveland Clinic story are with us tonight. I want to welcome everybody to Seizure Talk Radio. This radio show emerged out of parents that had concerns for their children and managing seizure disorders in themselves and for their children. And there was a need to be able to share the evolution of grace that's manifesting in clinical trials as well as home retrofitting and other treatment modalities that are happening across the United States to help manage seizures more efficiently. I had a chance to go past the National Epilepsy Foundation in suburban Washington, D.C. this week, and I was amazed to see the labors and the efforts that are going forth from your tax contributions to really fight the war against seizure development. I became concerned when the lady in Chicago, I call her the Angel of Chicago. I got a call from her asking me to stop and visit a family in Cincinnati who was suffering, their child was suffering with a seizure disorder. And that one life experience, it was life-changing for me because I didn't know that the spectrum of seizures in the United States is running almost neck to neck with the incident of autism. We are now looking at a heralding statistic of 1 in 26
adults and children in the United States developing a seizure disorder in their lifetime. And with that type of statistical probability, it makes for all of us to be concerned about seizure activity in the United States. And now that the World Health Organization has identified exposure to electrical current as being one of the culprits, there are many entities that have been identified as probable cause of seizures, certainly chemicals and certain airborne irritants, as well as intrinsic factors that are going on in the body. But the elements that are provoking seizures or causing the onset of seizures that's in the environment that can be eliminated or can be reduced, we can certainly do something about that. And that's what the show is all about tonight. We have our distinguished guest tonight, the angel herself, Miss Monica, who discovered that the flat battery nanobiobalancer balancer would stop seizures on contact. And then we have the gentleman who is one of my guardian angels who took her testimony to the Cleveland Clinic and knocked on the door and knocked on the door. For almost 2 years, he knocked on the door to get us an audience with the Cleveland Clinic. And I really want them to come forth and share their testimonies tonight. We're going to start with Brother Bob Sappho. He's renowned and a distinguished businessman in the Cleveland area. He's president of the Minority Contractors Association nationwide, and has a distinguished presence in the Republican Party as well as with minority contractors in the state of Ohio. I met Brother Bob as I was getting ready to board the plane to Germany in Cincinnati. He heard about me and my distinguished career in environmental health sciences and drove all the way from Cleveland to Cincinnati to meet me just hours before I boarded the plane. And he said, where do you want to go with this technology? And I said, we got to go to the Cleveland Clinic. And he was pursuant to that for almost 2 years. And when he got in the door, he was instrumental in helping us to bring Morgan's testimony to the Cleveland Clinic. So, Brother Bob, share with us, you know, just your story of Dr. A and this technology. Are you still there with us from Cleveland?
Yes, I am, dear. First of all, giving unto God, and he has many names, but the name I know best is Jesus. So in order to give it unto God and his presence and my good friends and family who are present on this call, I salute all of you, principally my daughter, Dr. Rhoda Zion Ali, who has been like a daughter for me for about 6 or 7 years. I met her, as she had mentioned, several years ago, and I heard about the lives she was saving, not people just being healed, but she was actually saving lives, you know, because of her touch and her wisdom and the direction she got from our Holy Father. So I appreciate her, and I appreciate you folks who are present on this call, so you must be special people also. I hail originally from Dothan, Alabama. It's in the southeastern corner of Alabama, around the Florida-Georgia line. My family moved to Ohio when I was 9 years old, to Warren, Ohio, where I've made my life for the most part for the last 70-some years. I was 9 when I came from Dothan. I'll be 80 the 21st of this month, so Dr. A, you wish me early happy birthday in my 80th
birthday. Happy birthday.
But
happy birthday.
I know that I'm a young 80. I'm active. And a lot of that has to do with my being exposed to that flat battery some 6 or 7 years ago. And it is wonderful for my household, my wife and myself. We've been dutiful participants under the mask of that flat battery. So I know it works. And after it worked on me, I became an exponent of this process, and everybody out was, you know, singing the praises. Dr. A heard about it, and somehow she told me about young Morgan. Is Morgan on the phone? Is Morgan on the line tonight, Dr. A?
Maybe her mother, Monica, is with us. Monica, are you with us tonight?
I know she was with us earlier and kind of we thought the show was going to be canceled, so she may be attending the Morgan now. But I can okay. fill in for her story. She'll be back with us another time.
Morgan must have been maybe 8 or 9 years old. She could hardly walk and said he couldn't utter a word that you could, you know, that could understand. But during the course of that evening, when we were making the presentation at the Cleveland Clinic, they must have some 5 or 6,000, some to us around 9,000 people come there once a year to get a screen for various, you know, tests at the Cleveland Clinic. It's a national program. And when I saw Morgan, I saw something special about that child. And as Dr. A was ministering to her, a whole countenance changed. I see like a almost like a rainbow, a halo came upon her. And I know she was an anointed child. And she started speaking, and I'm going to say that speaking in tongues. I wish I could interpret it, but I could not. But I know it was all good, and a smile came upon her face. And I know I saw the glory of God, you know, just immersed her. And so I just knew it was something special. And as we left that place, I mean, people came from all over that facility. The Cleveland Clinic is one of the most esteemed, you know, medical facilities in the world. You know, from Dubai to Washington, D.C., and from Japan to Alabama, okay? But everybody was just spellbound by what they saw and what we all witnessed at that particular time. Since then, I've seen other situations where this flat battery has done its thing in terms of being able to bring healing, okay, to folks. And so I'm not only a witness, but I'm a proponent of the methodology that the Holy Father, God, gave to Dr. A to benefit mankind. And when I say mankind, I hope I should say humankind, because women is a part of that also, people kind. So I just applaud you, Dr. A, and you know that, you know, we've been very close. I call you my daughter, and you are the same age as my firstborn, okay? And, we are just proud, you know, for what you brought, you know, to humankind. And it's making a difference throughout the world. And we're going to do whatever we can to help maximize that and give it more exposure. As a matter of fact, on the 15th of this week, I'm having a breakfast with some of the officials at the Cleveland Clinic. My daughter, who is the congresswoman from Ohio, her name is Congresswoman Marsha Fudge. Some of you people who are kind of political might be familiar. So she's a congressperson from the 11th Congressional District, and up until this past January, she was the head of all of the 46 African-American congresspersons. She only can serve 2 years, but they tried to get her to serve an additional 2 years because of the things that she done to raise the attention, not only but support for African-Americans throughout this country, and not only African-Americans, but citizens of the United States. So she's very much aware of what we are doing and what Dr. A has done with her technology. And she's in with us and just waiting for us to call on her so we can expand this. But this Friday morning, okay, 7 o'clock, we're having a breakfast at the Cleveland Clinic, and she's being honored as a person of the year by the world-renowned Cleveland Clinic. And the keynote speaker is Dr. Moss, who is from Cleveland, Ohio. And President Obama called him his pastor. So this is going to be, you know, quite an event. And I'm hoping that after doing that meeting, I'm going to get a personal audience with the CEO, Dr. Cosgrove of Cleveland Clinic, and make sure that we get another meeting with him directly and his top staff, and see if we can't get the Cleveland Clinic even more direct involved in this process and really maximize, you know, this service. And this calling. So I commend you, Dr. A, and I commend the people who are associated with you. And no, nothing now to do, but just go on and upward in Jesus' name.
Well, we received that, Brother Bob, because you are such a distinguished gentleman of Cleveland, and you're so well beloved because you serve humanity there. And I was just so spellbound at just, you know, God put us together. He bound our hearts together. He enabled you and empowered you
to love me, to shield me, and to believe in my dream, almost at a time when I couldn't believe in it myself because I had a technology and I didn't have any way to measure it. I didn't have any way to quantify, to show people how on a machine how it worked. But I knew through applied kinetic skills, I was able to muscle test people and two-finger test people doing the Bedore testing to show people how effective it was. And
how
so I was just, you know, I was so intrigued because when I went searching for ways to develop it, I went to Germany, and you were having an affair in Cincinnati, and you said, Doc, you know, I'm going to come out there, and I'm going to meet you and see you off to Germany and see the team that I went with to Germany. And you stayed in contact with me. When I got back, I told you I had a working prototype. And you said, what do you want me to go? How can I help you? And I said, I need to get this into the Cleveland Clinic. And you started knocking on doors and making phone calls and trying to meet up with people at meetings to try to see who should we talk to at the Cleveland Clinic and what should we do. And finally it came that we should talk to one of the surgeons there. And during a snowstorm, we went to the Cleveland Clinic. They closed the clinic because the snowstorm was so bad. But you persevered, and you took me out there, drove me out to the Cleveland Clinic. And because the clinic was closed, the surgeon was able to give us his undivided attention. And when he saw the dynamics of that technology, he picked up the phone and called the head of the Cleveland Clinic Innovations to see how he could get the Cleveland Clinic behind it. And he put some things in place, and we labored at the Cleveland Clinic for about 18 months, but we couldn't find. They needed to have something to quantify the dynamics of the technology and what it was doing. And so they set up for us to do health screenings specific to electromagnetic radiation and client cell phones. And you're correct. We were scheduled and invited to present at one of the largest health forums of the Cleveland Clinic in the spring. April the 29th of 2011 was when we got started at the Cleveland Clinic. 2010. And at that time, it was almost 5,000 people that was in attendance. And Morgan came because she was a client of the Cleveland Clinic, and she wanted to show her doctor how she was able to walk in her walking apparatus. And her mother wanted to report to her pediatric neurologist that she was managing her seizures, and she had become seizure-free. She went from 1,500 minutes on the average of seizures a week down to less than 1 minute. She has seizures now. When she has a seizure, it's like 2 or 3 seconds. And she only has a transitional seizure in the morning, her mom testified, between the window of 3:30 to 5:30. And phenomenal. And
Hallelujah.
When you met her, she had just started to talk a little bit. And her vocabulary was right around maybe a 2-year-old, even though she was 8, almost 9. And you remember correctly when I was sharing on the flat battery, the nanobio balancer flat battery, and some doctors were challenging me, saying that they didn't believe my working hypothesis because there was no way something made of the fabrication that it was made of and as small as it was to do the things. Is that what they said?
That's what they said.
Matter of fact, they were kind of mocking me and gesturing me as if I was some kind of quack. And it was embarrassing, but I said to them, well, let me introduce my colleague, Miss Morgan. And when she started moving in her walking apparatus, which she had never been able to walk in her walking apparatus, she could only sit in it. And she came out and started walking so they all could see. And she said, I walk with flat battery. I talk with flat battery. And remember when she said it? She said, I stopped my seizures with flat battery. Then she looked at me and said, go, Dr. A, go.
Thousands
of people began to cheer her, and people started crying. Remember?
Absolutely.
And it was so sensational.
Yes.
It was so sensational that we were invited to come back to the Cleveland Clinic the following mm-hmm. year and do another health screening. And
right.
her pediatric neurologist was
mm-hmm.
so impressed with
mm-hmm.
her progress using that technology. And
yes.
he drove from Cleveland down to Cincinnati about 5 months later. And
okay.
he met with me. He came. I was demonstrating and presenting at the Cerebral Palsy Conference. And
uh-huh.
he came to me. He said, Dr. Alali, you have to bring this technology to clinical trials. I cannot believe the miracle of Morgan. And we can help more children like her. But we need some definitive data. We need the data. We need some investigative research. We
yes.
need somebody to quantify and qualify
yes.
how this technology is working. And
uh-huh.
you were there, Brother Bob,
yes.
to
yes.
see the whole thing. You
right.
have known me from before that technology was born. And when it was birthed, you carried me to the Cleveland Clinic in the hopes that we could get that institution behind this technology.
Yes.
And
yes.
so fast forward to this day, a new year and a new day.
Yes.
And I want you to hear the account of so many children now across the United States and adults that
okay.
are stopped using the technology to stop their seizures. It
All
has
right.
been phenomenal, phenomenal
okay.
to see. And I want to just thank you. I know I promised you I'd get you back to the president's address tonight. But I appreciate your labors of love hanging in there through our technical difficulty. But I appreciate
right.
you being on the show to let everybody know this campaign is real. The movement
yes.
is real. The people are real. The
mm-hmm.
cause is real. And we
yes.
have united to make life better for the people we love and the communities we live in. We
yes.
hope to leave a legacy of healthier environments
uh-huh.
so that we can eliminate at least the environmental factors that are causing seizures
yes.
in our families. And so I want to thank you again for interrupting your precious evening with the president to be on this call with us. And
let me say this here. The president of the United States is all of our president. Okay, he's the most powerful person in the world, okay? But nothing is more powerful than the message you have to not only to add to, but to really literally save lives. And I
yes.
know by your work, you're a living angel, and God bless you, my dear. You just call me, I'll be there, and I will.
Oh, I appreciate that, Brother Bob, and you truly have been there.
I want to say what it's called. I have the capacity. But I didn't. I should have told my wife. She wouldn't know how. But baby, my daughter probably is taping it, and I can catch that another time. Okay. But I want to hear others that's on the program. If you're going to be on for a while, if there's some other testimonies, other information that you want to bring forth, I'm going to stay here until we're finished. So God bless you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's wonderful. Well,
yes.
you know, I want you to hear from the Canadian team that's on the line tonight. But before I go to them. Is Cecilia on the line with us from Westinghouse?
I am on the line. Thank you.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Cecilia, I want to thank you for interrupting your busy schedule in Pittsburgh to be with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the teacher that I had who trained me in how to analyze, how to measure, analyze, and to mitigate environmental radiation. She was the one that gave me my course on radon testing. She was also the one who administered the national board that I took and passed by the skin of my teeth. Cecilia, this is the National Radon Testing Month, and I just really, before we get our testimonies from Canada, I want you to just share a little bit about radon testing and why we need to be testing our homes for radon and how dangerous it is. So go ahead.
Well, we need to be testing our homes, first of all, because it is a simple risk that you can control. And it doesn't take much for somebody to do a simple, short-term, what we call screening test. If that comes up fine, because it would be of a short duration, then you would want to do a long-term test. because the short term you do under closed house conditions, a long term you would do under your normal living conditions, and you want to let that run for about a good 11 months. If you have well water, you could also test that well water for radon, because if you have high levels of radon in your drinking water, you not only have an ingestion health concern, but the radon in water would become radon in air, so you would have two health concerns. And you could do all three of these for well under $100. And it's sad to me that radon testing centers more around real estate transactions than it does around just concerned citizens. So it seems that people are more concerned about other things than they are about something that can give them full-blown lung cancer in probably less than 20 years. So that's one of my big concerns, is just to do the public outreach. And I know you do a lot with the non-ionizing radiation. And if we can get more people dealing and having concerns with ionizing radiation, then we can combat the both of those. I also wanted to let folks know that there are other partners who have stepped up to the plate in regards to radon outreach. And I also wanted to let you know about some simple groups that you can get involved with and learn and do some great networking. So you can hook up with the American Lung Association. They have these get-togethers called Lung Force Expos. And if you just go to their website, you may be able to find one in your state, in your area. They are designed for patients as well as healthcare professionals. And again, it's great public outreach, and if you have something to market, that would be a wonderful place to do that. There are lots of people there with COPD as well as other health issues. Also wanted to let you know about HUD. They came on board a couple years ago and mandated not only radon testing, but radon mitigation in their multifamily housing. Government Service Administration, GSA, they have state and federal buildings, so they have about 81,000 leased properties and I think 1,500 or so government-owned buildings. And they have also mandated testing to cover the occupancies in those buildings. EPA, I don't know if you're following them, they recently put out a National Radon Action Plan, and there were about a dozen agencies that collaborated on that plan. ARST is one of those, and that is the American Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. And since I met you, I've become the chapter president for the Pennsylvania chapter.
That's fabulous.
Yes, yeah, and we do public outreach, but mainly we try to keep the group of radon professionals together to provide networking and to make sure that we understand what the regulatory requirements are in our state, because Pennsylvania does have one of the top-notch radon programs. They actually have a program where it's called a newborn, some type of newborn program. There's, I believe, a little over 70 hospitals that participate in it. So when the new mom and baby go home, they get that little bag of goodies, and then there is a coupon for a free radon test kit. That program has been in place for quite some time, and that promotes a whole lot of additional testing. The National Radon Action Plan really wants to reduce radon in 5 million homes and hopefully save an additional 3,200 lives by the year 2020. Here in Pennsylvania, and I want to remind you folks, the radon action level is just 4 picocuries per liter. We recently found a few houses that were over 1,000 picocuries, and these were new homes. So in Ohio, you only have 2 municipalities that mandate radon-resistant new construction. And I want to let you know that if you want builders in your municipality to incorporate these radon-resistant new construction features to try and limit radon entry into houses, you must go and adopt that. So you have to stand together, get some public outreach going, get some public outreach going, and get these people to adopt what is called Appendix F.
And what's the name of the two cities, Dr. Cecilia? This is Brother Bob Saffold. I'm president of the Ohio Minority Contracts Association, based in Columbus, Ohio,
Yes.
I'm also national president of the National African American Indigenous and Contractors. And we are actively involved in various environmental services. We got a major a problem here in terms of, you know, people monitoring and maybe making the people, contractors and professionals, adhere to the lead abatement laws, okay? And radon has just started coming to our radar, so we're beginning to more familiar with this. I would hope I can get your phone number after this. We can talk. I'm tentatively scheduled to be in Pittsburgh this Saturday. And God willing, we can. Yes.
There are just two municipalities that I know of, and that is the city of Canal Winchester and the city of Dublin.
Dublin, that's outside of Columbus, okay.
Yes.
Right, both of them are. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's only two. And when you look at the size of Ohio, it does need addressed. And then one of the major problems is plumbers are putting these in for builders, and there is no training required.
Okay.
For them. So mitigators are not doing it. There are licensed mitigators in Ohio. There are actually a lot of them, and they are specifically trained, licensed, regulated, and overseen by the Department of Health.
All right.
And those folks have a great program. Mary Beth Rich, Donna Jordan assist in administering that program.
Right.
One of the things that you might want to get the children involved with is the radon poster contest. That is an annual poster contest put on nationally. And Donna, I believe, assists with that program in the state of Ohio.
All right.
And Garfield Elementary won that contest in 2014. I know one year I checked, and the top prize was $600. So you can't beat that for a small kid.
Mm-hmm.
But they would love to have that. Another
Garfield Elementary in. What city?
Pardon me?
What city is Garfield Elementary in?
Yes.
What city?
That I don't know. I don't have that available.
What's
I just know that
it's in Cleveland.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, it says Joe J. A. Garfield Elementary. 2013, Regan Toledo won. So there is some participation, but it's nice to get all the kids involved. And what that does is that also generate some public outreach. You may have a school science teacher or another type of teacher that really gets involved and will seek out grant money from either the state or the EPA or another organization and fund radon testing so they can get canisters, they can give them out to the students, and again, get some more houses tested and find those high houses and get them remediated. The last networking that I wanted to mention is with the EPA, and they have these networking events that are called regional stakeholder events.
Okay.
And they're set up into regions. So Ohio is in Region 5, the Great Lakes region, and they get together. There are regulators there. There are folks from the Department of Health, and there are radon professionals, doctors, and anybody that has a stake in somebody's well-being and is concerned about radon. So it's a great learning event. You can go there, ask for some speaking time, and the couple days before the event, they actually have some training events going on. So maybe some continuing ed may be afforded. Other than that, I still am a health physicist. I still do the radiation radon training. I do a lot of public outreach whenever I can. I also have a radon test device laboratory, so we do sell charcoal canister test devices now. I am certified to do that in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and any unregulated state. I could not go after Ohio because they mandated a third-party oversight, and financially it just was not doable. And I analyze well water for radon.
Okay. Excellent.
And she's one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, educator in radon, what it is, radon testing, et cetera. So
I'm still having the monthly seminar, sometimes two times a month, and then they're online as well. So I just had one this past weekend. We had a great turnout. folks from three surrounding states, so it's good to know. And then people go on to start their own businesses and hopefully hire other people.
Very good. Yeah. Well, God, I come to Cincinnati this weekend. I'm going to certainly look you up, but we'll be talking prior to that.
Great. Yeah. Nice to meet you. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for interrupting your busy schedule tonight, Cecilia, because this lady is in national demand. She is an authority in radon testing, radon what it is. I took her class. I learned about it from a group of medical doctors in Dayton, Ohio. Her reputation is well known throughout the state as being one of the top elitists in the field. And I will have to say her training was so comprehensive. It was so hands-on in the learning that people were medical doctors, engineers, people who were contractors, construction workers. I heard her class was so diverse in terms of professionals and paraprofessionals that were attending.
HVAC people.
Yeah. And we had to take a national board. That was really tough. I know people that were not successful the first time around who were medical doctors. So it's not like, you know, a lollipop exam. You really have to understand the interactors of this radioactive gas and how to measure for it. And the concern is growing nationwide. I was so happy to see that the Office of the Surgeon General had issued made January the National Radon Testing Month. I saw Oprah Winfrey's magazine picked up a couple of public health service announcements in print talking, advising everybody to test for radon, especially this month. And, you know, the weather has a lot to do with how much radon is in the house. So you, would you mind commenting on that a little bit?
Yes, it does. And unfortunately, you know, when I had mentioned that radon testing just has become centered around real estate transactions, it seems that nobody is familiar with what is radon, where it comes from, and that it is a health hazard. They are only finding out if they're buying or selling a house. And what happens is a test is done to help somebody find out if they want to buy a house. So that's one of the various tests that somebody can get. And it's very quick. It's only a two-day minimum test. And sometimes the occupants of the house have another agenda. They may be trying to move out. So you don't get that closed house condition, you don't get that environmental envelope that you need to do a worst-case scenario test. And when you only have 2 days, that is such a tiny, tiny snapshot. And it's very important that you have closed house conditions prior to doing a test when it is only lasting less than 4 days, because you really need the environmental envelope. The way that you mitigate a home from radon or any building is you simply ventilate and you dilute. So if you ventilate and you dilute a building prior to testing, you're really not getting the worst-case scenario test results. And that is what you want, because whenever we get into the colder months, and actually summer as well, because some people live closed up in their house 24/7, 12 months out of the year. They just go from heating to air conditioning. So what happens is you don't get the air exchange, you don't get the ventilation, you don't get the dilution. So when you close your house up to save heating and cooling, to stay warm, whatever you're closing your house up for, and especially in the wintertime, you are creating what we call a stack effect. So the hot air rises, and you're kind of sucking the soil gases in at a faster rate than you would if the house was open.
Yeah.
And if it has nowhere to go, then the radon builds up, and then the daughter products build up. So radon, it doesn't just, you know, decay and go away. It actually transforms into particulate. And particulate, as you know, is bad to breathe in no matter what particulate you're breathing in. So now you have the two of these together that accumulate to such a point that you're simply in an avalanche of radioactivity. And you have none of what we call played out. So when you have air moving, you can move the particulate around and get it to played out on surfaces. And if you have a HEPA filter or a static elimination device or something like that, sometimes that will assist. But if you don't have anything like that, You're stuck in this atmosphere with all this particulate, and you have no choice but to breathe it in. And when you breathe it in, it decays, and that's when it damages your delicate lung tissue. And then if you smoke in that environment, you limit that plate out that much more, so that particulate cannot move around because it's now in that stuck cloud, you know, smoke cloud as well. So that's why, you know, we want to get testing. We want to get the high houses found and get them mitigated. You know, you can always use another engineering control if you can't afford a mitigation system at that moment. You know, like I said, ventilation, dilution, filtering mechanism, something like that, just to get that out of your indoor air.
And that's kind of where the nanotechnology comes in, because our new nanobiobalance,
I have been reading about that, and I also wanted to tell you that since you have been in my classroom, I mention you every single class I have. And I always look around and I ask the students where their cell phones are.
Okay.
And immediately take them out of their pockets.
Well, you know, it all started, you birthed this passion in me, because I came to your class desperate for information to understand the environment and understand the effects of radiation in the environment. And it was your class that first that introduced me to the fact that high electromagnetic radiation, high static from the electromagnetic frequency, could actually potentiate that radon. And that, again, the dilution was necessary, the ventilation was necessary to be able to combat radon. And as you know, Ohio has 53 of the 88 counties of Ohio are radiation zone ones, the highest concentration of radioactive gas outdoor. And that really concerned me. And so your knowledge was so vast that it just jumped, it started a revolution in me. And it just so happened when I came out of your class, I met a good friend of Dr. Bob's who had a health condition that I helped him with, and I ended up getting a free ride to go to Germany, where I saw the future of these two sources of environmental radiation. They were at the conference, both non-ionizing radiation and ionized radiation. And so I want you to know that I tell the world about you everywhere I go, that you are just the most awesome health physicist I've ever met, and it's been a pleasure. I feel like I'm born of you, because I certainly take your passion out. We have people on this radio show tonight from Canada and from all parts of the United States. And Cecilia, I invented this nanotechnology, and I know you've been reading bits and pieces of it, but the miracle of this show tonight is that we have children who are stopping their seizures with it, and this huge miracle happening in New York where a child wears this instrument that monitors her seizure activity. She was having 600 seizures a day. They got it down to 300, and then from this radio show, her practitioner heard about the nanotechnology that we engineered and got some and put it on that child, and 18 years of 300 to 600 seizures a day came to a screeching halt.
That is funny.
And the mother who discovered that the technology would stop seizures was on the show earlier, but we had some technical difficulties. She couldn't get through. So I told her we would reschedule her another time. But what you started in me, Cecilia, is a revolution and a passion to help people, because you shared so many stories about family after family, person after person that had cancer from this radon, that I said, I just want to be part of this revolution. And now, Cecilia, it's at Columbia University. We have a whole program called the Healthy Smart Home. So we're going to be sending even more traffic to you.
Wonderful.
For people who want to take their training and certification in ionized radiation, and we have developed a curriculum at Columbia in non-ionizing radiation analysis, assessment, and mitigation, and we are working with technologies from around the world and being effective, and we have some
We have some of those health physicists on the line with us from Canada. Rod, are you on tonight? He must have challenged her. What about Mario? Are you on?
Yes, Mario. Mario is on. Hello, everyone.
Mario is a star in Canada, Cecilia. You're talking to Cecilia in Pennsylvania. She's one of the health physicists at Westinghouse, and she's nationally renowned. Mario is a health physicist on a farm in Canada, one of the largest farms up there in the Quebec province. And Mario, just share with Cecilia a little bit about, you know, how effective the nanotechnology is in moving air in the barn, and how concentrated the urine and manure was. It was overpowering for staff. And what happened when it was insulated with those nanotechnologies? Go ahead and share.
Yeah, of course, Dr. Lally was here in Canada a bit more than 2 years ago. It was on the 17th of December 2013, where she first encountered the owner of this farm, which around 600 cows per day, three times per day. And this guy had problems with electrical parasites, so therefore he had invested over $120,000 to get this regulated so that a computer would actually spread out a message if there is a problem somewhere. But there was nothing done about transient current, and there's a lot of transient current in this these types of barn, because every cow wears almost like a cell phone, because it has a device to communicate with the robots and communicate and to identify themselves wherever they go. So anyway, when we went there, the cows were actually full of non-ionized radiation. And after we finally made a show off of what we can do to help them, later in the night, actually, because we spent the whole day there, later in the night, when we actually did the harmonization of the whole farm, the office in which I was in, the light went up a few percentage of higher intensity. And before, the cows were actually reluctant to go into the carousel to be milked, because they felt electromagnetic field around that. Yes. And after it was done, they were willingly coming into the onto the carousel. And then when they were jumping out, I noticed myself, because of being an observer, that the cows became curious all of the sudden. You know, like before they were kind of head down and feeling a bit dumb, you know. And so, therefore, since that time, we actually reharmonized last year after 14 months of the first event. And the cows were back in total or full non-ionized radiation. And within half an hour after we entered the barn, first of all, there was a really high scent of ammoniac in the barn.
Yeah.
And we finished, the scent actually diminished by about half, and the cows were back into full body, I would say, harmonized or balanced. They were balanced, and it was tested over five people, the owner and the son and the daughter of the owner. So therefore, right now, the owner of this farm is actually promoting the fact that being harmonized is a hell of a plus for his operation.
Incredible. And this incredible, Cecilia, what you have birthed in me, the passion that you have birthed in me, I've taken the wisdom and the information that you have given me in terms of environmental radiation, and we are spearheading a major change in the medical community, because we're advocating, when patients present with not just lung cancer, but any kind of cancer, because when we learned that when you smoke cigarettes, that one of the reasons why they had to stop or start smoke cessation was that the tobacco has become contaminated with radon. And when you smoke it, it breaks down to polonium-210 and to lead-210, which is highly assaultive to the blood vessels, the red blood cell and the white blood cell. Yes.
Polonium is the most radioactive element.
Yes. And so now they're looking to say, listen, if you have cancer, you need to start first with testing radon in your house, because now, because of that factor, they're saying that radon can cause all kinds of cancers. And then secondly, you need to test the magnetic flux of your electrical current in your home, because static electromagnetic radiation is a havoc for creating imbalance in the body and causing your blood to become thick and creating all kinds of diseases such as diabetes, chronic bronchitis, asthma, Alzheimer's, autism. The National Institute of Health is saying the probable cause of autism is sustained exposure to all this high EMF radiation, electromagnetic radiation fields. And so it's a revolution that we all can participate in. We have to participate in for the future of our health, because what good is wealth without health? And so we've gone a little bit into overtime tonight. Is there anybody have any questions that they want to ask Cecilia or Brother Bob from Cleveland and Cecilia from Pittsburgh on the line tonight? Is there any questions for them? If not, I want to say goodnight to everyone. Cecilia, you've been fabulous. Brother Bob, I can't make it without you. You are my archangel, and I appreciate the strength that you give me to stand on. Goodnight to my Canadian family, my family in L.A., my family in New York at Columbia University, my family here on Capitol Hill, my family in North Carolina. Shout out to all the children that wear the nanobio balancers. I love you all and appreciate you being on the line tonight. Over and out. This is Dr. Lolly.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. another one.